Mirmani Press presents Death Donor by Matt Ward. More information on the author at mattwardwrites.com to purchase the complete audio adventure or to download the entire techno thriller free with a free trial of Audible, visit deathdonor.com.
Mike.
I'm sorry, Senator Warren. I'm not going to be able to join your coalition, I said without any of the usual niceties. She'd dressed up for the meeting at my office, but she'd miscalculated. Her clingy Hermes blouse and Chanel skirt having no effect on me. I wasn't that easy. Warren's face soured before freezing in that perpetual politician's smile, tentacled fingers around her armchair, the only thing keeping the lioness from mauling me. Reggie's hand moved to his holster, his eyes tracking the tension from the post at the door with an alert smirk.
Mike, are you sure? There's a lot of...
Positive, Quincy. It's not what my constituents need.
Not that you care.
Warren shrugged.
Very well. We have more than enough bipartisan support. Thought you'd want to be on the winning side.
She didn't have to say more. I'd just pissed off the odds-on favorite for the presidency. Oh well. It was a good thing I was happy with my Senate seat. I escaped her honeyed fakeness with something about another meeting, relieved once I was free at last. Another knock. Wasn't I done for the day?
Surveillance cam showed a gorgeous woman in Prada heels and a power suit, equal parts fashion and force. Her black eyes were impatient, even as her gorgeous face remained calm. My system identified her at the same time I did. Tammy Wood, daughter and heir apparent of media mogul Penny Wood. She was closer to 65 based on the tabloids I'd read. A quick search confirmed it. Reggie buzzed her in.
Miss Wood, what can I do for you?
Her company was headquartered in New York, not Atlanta. What was she doing here? Her eyes narrowed before noticing me.
Ah, Senator, you are here. Good.
She gestured to the seat with a practiced dominance.
Yes, please have a seat, I said. Anything I can get you?
A fat sweetener and sugar-free macchiato, if it wouldn't be too much bother.
And what if it would? The espresso machine in the far corner roared to life, grinding as nutty aromas filled the air. The beautiful woman smiled as a second nozzle descended, a slow drip in foamy milk filling the glass. I carried the mug to her, and she gestured to the messy card table like she owned the place.
So, I sat back down. How can I help you, Miss Wood?
It's about censorship, Senator.
Interesting. Tell me more.
The First Amendment was democracy's last defense.
When she was finished, I was shocked.
You're saying DDI threatened you about covering the protests?
Not DDI, but their PR people, she said, or an outsourced legal firm, Deniability. We'd been working on a story on the appalling conditions in their Ethiopian and Kenyan internment camps where they keep donors for emergency treatments. The bodies have to be fresh. Awful stuff, a la factory farming before lab-grown put them out of business.
It sounded over the top, and after the unproven London metro bombing and overdone porn world stories, her company had a reputation.
You've seen the facilities?
I asked.
The holding pens? How'd you find out?
Actually, that was a good question. The damn hackers these journalists employed.
They don't try hard to hide them. Over there, people are desperate. Their Kenya office has tens of thousands of volunteers a day. They turn most away, of course. Health and quality issues.
Tens of thousands. And I thought Atlanta was bad.
And what do you want me to do about it?
Probably special treatment or the like. That's what happened when they were raised at the nanny's tit.
Freedom of the press is one of the most important tenets of democracy. When a rich billionaire or corporation violates that...
She was right, but I couldn't let on, so I raised an eyebrow.
Isn't that what your organization does every day? Use your reach to sell your products and services? You and your mother wield as much power and influence.
Mad someone beat you at your own game? Tammy shifted in her chair.
Not exactly. We stand by what's right and true.
And DDI doesn't, at least in their eyes.
They were all the same. Her eyes narrowed, and I added,
"Why'd you come to me?"
"We saw you at the protests. What happened? And DDI is based here in Atlanta. We thought if anyone could rein them in, it would be you." She raised a challenging brow. Perhaps I was wrong. How should I play this?
"Are you saying you're against all LE? Have you had a change of heart?"
I grinned.
"You look great for your age."
Her face flushed, and she stood, hands on her perfect hips. "This isn't about me or my individual choices. If I want to stay young so I can keep fighting for what's right, that's up to me." She stormed out. It's always about what's right. Some people. Sam. Finally. Rounding the corner into the dim alley, I hurried to the run-down clinic door to avoid being seen. I deactivated GPS earlier, applied the facial scrambling marks to my cheeks, and had a mask in my pocket. As long as I didn't run into... A siren blared two streets over and I froze, waiting. Nothing happened. They turned the corner, windows open. I crouched lower as they passed. After 2 minutes, all clear. The pockmarked street was deserted, scarcely a window lit. Creeping to the door, I grabbed the rusty handle. The door was locked, but I was ready. I inserted the plastic lockpick gun and L-shaped tension tool into the bottom of the keyhole, jamming it to the rear like the video said. Turning, I squeezed the trigger. It jarred the tumblers free as the door swung open. Shit, the alarm! I thrust the device in my pocket onto the door seconds before the buzzer sounded. Get it together, girl. No more slip-ups. Hurrying in, I tiptoed up the steps. The main lobby was unlit and empty. Lights came on to greet me, as did the greeter bot, a Vietnamese woman this time. These rich men and their Asian fetishes. I said nothing so voice recognition couldn't pin me to the crime. Taking the silver device from my pocket, I placed it on the bot's drive. Nothing happened. Then a light blinked. Blue. Red. Blue. Amir hadn't said anything about any light. I checked the doorway. Wind blew in the alley outside and sent a shiver down my spine. Worse than the streets of Saudi, that was for sure. Pull it together, soldier. A beep. Another. A green light flashed. Green meant go, right? I held the small chip in my hand. Did it work? No alarm, but it could be silent. Cops could be on their way. Outside, a siren blared. Shit! A sprint for the door. This better have worked. A shadowy figure emerged from the basement.
What are you doing? You're not supposed to—
I slammed my palm into the man's throat, and he crumpled to the floor.
What was that, Douglas?
Another yelled. I ripped the door open and darted into the night. I didn't want to get Amir more involved if I could help it. No sense ruining his life. Pondering the device on our rickety kitchen table, I took another acidy sip. Had it worked? Could I access the data? If there was even data to access. Detective Harrelson said they wiped their servers every day. Bullshit. Data was king. Who'd waste that power? So, here I was, sipping coffee, pushing one in the morning, using encrypted TOR networks to learn everything I could about the Trojan. It would take one call to Amir. Not if I could help it. I found a manual for the Pocket Trojan. Said each device created a private server repository. But where? A serial number search revealed it was Amazon Basics which got me to the access portal. An imprinted code granted me access, and a file downloaded. Bingo. I opened it. Names, numbers, and procedure lists. Even contact information, but no addresses. Wouldn't matter. My crosshairs were closing in. Sorting, I went far back as I could. It ended at midnight the morning prior, 24 hours. Damn it! I smacked the table. All that for nothing. I scanned the list again. Nothing. Downloading the file again didn't help. I threw my coffee in the sink and went to bed, furious. So much for progress. Man, I could use a drink. Felt like a junkie. Wait, could that junkie bastard trip? No? At this point, it was worth a try. The prison was a featureless rectangular behemoth in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by barbed wire and concrete, watchtowers and cameras enough to power all of Hollywood. The car dropped me off at the front entrance, an imposing great gate with MP5 armed guards behind bulletproof glass, drones overhead. I felt exposed, no idea if this would work. It had to. An official sign read, "State your name, business, and home address." I did, fidgety rednecks eyeing my gun and chest the whole time, despite the normalcy of the situation. I dare you. After inspections, I entered the enclosed processing bay, which ran full-body scans and diagnostics before I entered the room. At the end, a heavy-set guard with a comb-over and mustache to match his glare guided me to a metal table bolted to the floor. There were five others spread in a circle throughout the room.
"Sit down, place your hands here."
I did, and spread my fingers on the outline diagram, palms on icy steel.
"Don't move," he commanded with a Yankee's twang.
Something jabbed my palm.
What the heck was that? DNA test.
Things had changed since my days. Talk about invasive.
Hold on.
The guard tapped his temple, eyes darting between invisible interfaces.
Looks like you're clean. So, Trip, why'd you want to talk to him?
He owed me money and I need it.
I lied. Good luck. Perp could barely walk when we brought him in, let alone tie his shoes or access an account. Come on.
The big man stood, and I followed. The door on the far side of the processing room opened as he approached, and we passed into the dreary heart of the prison. The colors were duller, the corridors danker, and sweat permeated the place, empty hallway ending at opposing steel doors. There were noises and yells from the left, silence to the right. We skipped the one marked PHC and went right, opening VHC without so much as a touch, and entering the silent cell ward. It could have been a morgue, rows upon rows of entombed bodies, lying flat and inserted into miniature caskets. I recoiled.
Are they dead?
The guard, Landry was his name, laughed.
You kidding? They're probably banging some celebrity model or scuba diving the Great Barrier Reef.
Ah, VR.
Thought that was banned. It is mostly. There's an exception for prisons. Makes our life hell of a lot easier, and it's cheaper, too. Run a nutrient IV and you're set. Doesn't matter if it's 2 years or 25. Plus, he added with a grin, they earn points which go to our bottom line as well. They don't know, of course.
Made sense. Prison's got a cut on the donor signups as well. It was fucked up. It was business, after all.
Trip? I asked. Over here. Ward 3, Row 51, Unit 7.
He pointed to a white stencil on the nearest pod, 51. Tapping an interface, he entered a code and the system scanned his face for confirmation. A second later, a black tube slid from the wall, lights activating on the front and sides as it tilted vertical and came to rest on the floor to my left. A seal clicked, and doors swung out, a gaunt face appearing. If Freddy looked bad before prison, he looked awful now. Down at least 20 pounds in the short time since he'd been caught, bloodshot eyes sunken, cheeks gaunt, head shaved. Served him right. A glazed shock.
Where am I? What happened to—
Quiet, the guard snapped. Follow me.
Landry dragged the staggering Freddy to an empty visitor room without calling for backup or restraining him. The sickly man needed Landry's help to stand, atrophied legs incapable of walking. A table and chairs in the visitor room doubled as an interrogation booth. Cuffing Freddy's hands to the table, he turned to me.
I could use some coffee. Want some?
This was my chance.
Sure.
He left the room in a clueless, lazy amble, happy for a break from monotony. I sat across from the dead-eyed junkie, taking in the cockroach who'd robbed me of my family.
You killed my daughter.
A spark of recognition across his face.
That was some good dope.
My fingers trembled. It took all my training not to crush his throat. Instead, I said,
Who'd you sell her to? How'd it go down?
He He shrugged.
HSU and I got an arrangement. I bring bodies and they've got the hookup.
Who is your contact?
Fuck you!
He spat on my face, and I slammed his head on the table, jerking it to within inches of mine.
You messed with the wrong mom. Who was your contact? Who bought my daughter? Malia, the 11-year-old black-haired girl.
He clawed at my face, and I snapped his pathetic fingers. He screamed.
Who? I yelled. Give me a name!
I was running out of time. Jumping up, I grabbed my chair and jammed it under the handle as Landry's furious face appeared. He hammered the door as I sprinted back to Freddy.
You have 2 seconds.
I jerked his collar.
Fine, fine, but you didn't hear it from me. It was Don. Don Smith.
The name rang a bell.
Why?
I'd look him up later.
Why'd they need an 11-year-old?
Were younger cells better?
Please, I don't know.
Freddy whimpered.
The door thundered. Open up!
Hustling over, I let the red-faced guard in.
I won't tell anyone if you don't,
I whispered with an icy stare. He'd lose his job if his boss found out.
Bastard slept with my sister, I added.
Landry's jaw twitched.
Get out of here, and don't let me see you again.
I hauled ass out of there. Don Smith.
Damn it.
A week since I'd gotten the files, but despite everything and all the dark web could offer, I hadn't made progress. 24 hours of names, no more. And Don Smith was a dead end, hundreds in Metro Atlanta alone. Sitting on the inconspicuous bench in the little X-Lot park, I waited. It was pretty empty for a Friday afternoon. 3 double-duty shifts the past week had bought me the day off, and Amir would drop by on his lunch break. He taught mornings, spending his afternoons with an army of grad students who were less of a pain with a meal in them. I was losing hope of ever finding the culprit. Every day, my chances dwindled. How's it going, Sam? Amir strode towards me in a casual long sleeve and slacks, signature messenger bag over his scrawny shoulder.
So, it didn't work?
Not entirely. I explained what happened. Look, I don't want to get you more involved, but I don't know where else to turn. He laughed, taking me back to better times.
You always were afraid to ask for help, so I did it anyways.
My jaw dropped.
I had access to the server all along,
he explained. Checked it last night when you asked to meet.
And?
My body was shaking, fingers twitching an invisible trigger.
I got names. Not sure which is your guy, but...
Words failed me. I pulled him into a hug.
I owe you.
He nodded.
Yes, you do. Just don't get caught, and don't bring my name into this.
After promising, small talk about the upcoming World Cup, and a confusing complaint about some rival professor's work on random neural networks, he left. I opened the compressed files and got to work, flipping through patients from previous days, working back to that day. 6 names. 6 possibilities. Sanvi Bhatti at Aditya Bhatti Rejuve plus stem insert 12-year-old white. Bao Wang at Bao Wang 6 transfusion plus stem insert 11-year-old Asian. Aisha Hajar at Aisha Hajar neural machine interface 9-year-old black. Penny Wood at Penny transfusion plus stem insert 11-year-old white. Zach Jordan at ZJ11 Rejuve plus brainstem insert 14-year-old white. Megan Larson at M. Larson 1 brainstem insert 15-year-old white. 11-year-old white. Had to be Malia. It was the only one that fit. Penny Wood, founder of ISG, the InStyle group. Darren had been a loyal subscriber to Better Home and Fall Fashions since before we were married. Their obnoxious ads followed us everywhere. And this was how that bitch repaid us? An 11-year-old's life to add 5-something to some 90-year skank? My head pounded before I even saw Penny's pictures. Didn't look a day over 30. Bitch. Talk about beauty being skin deep. A motivational speech she'd given at Stanford's commencement a decade earlier appeared. If it was possible, she looked younger now.
You've got your whole lives ahead of you. So much promise, so much to offer. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your life. Go make your mark. Believe in yourself, and you can change the world. Burning acid torched my stomach, nails cutting my palms, everything red. That hypocritical bitch was going to die. I'd see to that.
Sam. There she was, Penny Wood, dolled up as always. My hand went to my holster and froze. Cool it, soldier. Not here, not now. Her eyes flared, and she snapped at Ethan, who had dressed to impress in a fitted blue sports coat and tan slacks. I waded through the crowd toward them to get within earshot. Tonight I was backup, mingling, and seeking out potential threats, not official duty. Even though everyone was scanned and vetted, I was glad to have a gun, and not my official Glock. You could 3D print anything these days, and I didn't want someone tracing this one.
It's just business, Pen, you know that, Ethan said.
Penny's hard eyes flared, but her brow furrowed at the next thing Ethan said. The conversation warmed, and I slipped behind the pair, searching Penny's guards. A brief check revealed no one, no hidden watchers. Might work, after all. I waited in the corner by the sushi and tapa samplers. Tesla's CMO and Canada's president-elect both chatted me up, before realizing I was just a hot security guard. They moved on to bigger fish. Fine by me. Penny and Ethan disengaged. My mind raced for ways to confront her. I'd been thinking about it all week, and while it was risky, I didn't see an alternative. Her house and the ISG headquarters were fortresses, and she traveled with 3 or 4 bodyguards. They must either be home or drunk, not feeling the need in such a high-security atmosphere. Research said she was a card-carrying NRA and had taken karate for 20 years. She was no slouch, not after the assault on her 70th, some disgruntled ex-employee. The dude had vanished. Police found nothing. Yeah, Penny Wood had a reputation. Penny headed away from the party toward the bathroom. My breathing slowed. This was my chance. People everywhere. My heart pounded. Dipping my fingers into my dressy purse, I thumbed the facial distortion moles and popped them on my face. I pushed through the crowd. The space between the roped-off party area and the main house was dark, the sun having set hours earlier. Bright solar lights lined the cobbled walkway, and Penny's heels clattered the stone path. I slipped on gloves and activated the signal jammer in my bag. All connectivity within 15 yards died. In my dress's pocket, I flipped on noise canceling, and the area was flooded with a white, buzzing noise that blocked out everything except my frenzied thoughts. Penny looked up as I clamped my hand over her mouth and my arm around her throat. She threw a frantic elbow and smashed her head into my nose. I held firm, squeezing until resistance died. Lifting her unconscious form, I dragged her off the path to the dim, enclosed herb garden filled with Maria's spices. Shoving her on the iron bench, I produced a set of zip ties and hooked her pale hands behind it. A rag stuffed in her mouth and hooked behind her head completed her getup. Once I was sure she couldn't speak or cry out, I smacked her several times. Her eyes blinked open, surging as she threw her body against the industrial strength ties. They didn't budge. Stricken eyes bulged as she bloodied her wrists on the cutting bands. "Do you know who I am?" I asked. She shook her head, quivering. A light on the path we'd come from. I froze. Someone was coming. A rowdy pair passed our secluded cove, hand in hand, and continued towards the tennis center. He grabbed her ass, and she spun but didn't see us. Seconds later, they were out of sight. Penny jerked on the ties again, a muffled yell. "Shut your trap!" I snapped. "I'm going to take the rag out. If you scream, no one will hear, and I'll put a bullet in your head. Got it?" I lifted my gun to make sure she got the point. She nodded, and I pulled it out. "You killed my daughter."
"No, no."
She shook her head harder, tears coming. I smacked her pretty fake face. You're lying. HSU. My daughter was the one they harvested for your workup. She was 11, damn it, 11. Penny sobbed, body shaking.
What do you want? Money? Power? Anything? I can make you rich beyond your wildest.
A brutal slap. These rich fucks would never get it. I want my daughter back.
And my husband. An arrogant half-smile. Everyone's got their price. 20 million? 50? 100?
I reached for the rag and jammed it into her mouth. Shocked dread flashed across her face. Unholstering my pistol, I screwed the untraceable silencer in as she threw herself against the straining bands. Nothing happened. The bench didn't budge. One last thing. I pulled the 3D printed brand from my pocket and spun it. The finishing touch, the icing on the cake, the truth behind all the pain and lies. Hold still. I forced the iron against her forehead and hit the switch on the rubber handle. The induction heater swelled red as her face went from confusion to writhing pain in an instant. The nasty gag muffled her screams. Before she passed out, I turned off the searing brand and leveled my pistol. Tears filled her hideous eyes. Good. This one's for Malia. I fired.
You have been listening to Death Donor by Matt Ward. For more information, to purchase the complete audio adventure, or to download the entire techno thriller free with a free trial of Audible, visit deathdonor.com.